This is the Direct Action Radio News, recorded May 5th, 1999.
This week in our program,
South Korean strikes lead to violent clashes.
Greek railway workers blockade NATO war equipment.
The Federal Communications Commission raids Houston, Texas's micropower FM station.
Palestinian students protest against Israeli arrests in Berzit University.
Controversy surrounds Evergreen State College graduation ceremonies.
Lakota Student Alliance members protest U.S. land transfer.
UK students occupy Sussex University Administration Building to protest fees.
The Biotic Baking Brigade pies UC Berkeley animal researcher.
And we bring you raw actualities from a Washington, D.C. rally against the war in Yugoslavia held on April 23rd.
Thousands of riot police marched on a Seoul, South Korea university April 27th, touching off violent clashes with striking subway workers and sympathizers who fought back with rocks and firebombs. Several workers were wounded, none seriously, police said. The strikers are protesting government-ordered corporate reforms that are expected to result in mass layoffs. The government argues that corporate restructuring cannot be a matter of labor disputes. At state-run Seoul National University, 2,000 riot police, backed by armored vehicles, marched 200 yards onto the campus to try to disperse 2,500 workers who have been holed up for a week. Workers and students fought back, wielding steel pipes and hurling rocks and firebombs. They fled after setting fire to piled-up wooden chairs and garbage bins. After putting out the fires, police moved off the campus. A police helicopter broadcast warnings that the workers would face arrest and punishment if they did not disperse voluntarily. South Korea has experienced escalating labor and social unrest in recent weeks that is reaching proportions capable of threatening the stability of the government, with tens of thousands of workers in a broad spectrum of industries engaged in strike actions.
Railway workers in the Greek city of Salonika blockaded a train carrying a cargo of 31 British military vehicles for the NATO force in Macedonia, a Greek military spokesman said April 28th. The protesters prevented the train from leaving the Greek port, which serves as the main transport center through which alliance material and troops pass en route to Macedonia. The vehicles were part of a consignment of 200 troop carriers unloaded on the 27th from the British cargo ship Sea Centurion, while their 320 military escorts arrived on a military plane, a British source said. Some 200 additional troops and the ship Crusader, loaded with military vehicles including 14 Challenger assault tanks, are awaited this weekend in Salonika, the British military source said. The troops are part of an additional 1,800-strong contingent London has pledged to send to Macedonia to reinforce the 4,500 soldiers already stationed there. Some 13,000 NATO troops are currently based in Macedonia, a number that should grow to 16,000 in the coming weeks, according to alliance estimates. The troops are officially tasked with preparing for an eventual peacekeeping force, but critics, including the Greek protesters, suspect this could also constitute a ground force.
In the early afternoon of April 27th, Federal Communication Commission's agents, the Houston Police Department, and U.S. Marshals, armed with a warrant, shut down Houston's only public access radio station, Montrose Radio 94.9 FM. The station was broadcasting but unstaffed. No arrests were made. Entrance was gained at two points simultaneously, through the retail location on the first floor and through the back entrance to the second floor offices. An interior door between the retail establishment and the upstairs offices was smashed open. No guns were drawn, but several bystanders associated with the building of a soundstage for a local street festival were detained, hands on head. This is the first reported raid of a micropower station since the FCC announced its notice of proposed rulemaking to legalize micropower radio in some form early this year. At last report, the Montrose radio broadcast location remained under surveillance.
Students and staff of Berzit University in Palestine held a peaceful demonstration April 29th to highlight the current situation of student prisoners, freedom of movement, and freedom of education. University classes were suspended and staff began a strike at 11 a.m. as student leaders made speeches to a crowd assembled near the student building. Following the speeches, approximately 250 staff and students traveled on buses to Sirte, a village on the road between Ramallah and Berzit. Sirte is located near the Bit El Bypass Road, a frequent location for the Israeli military to set up checkpoints, harass and arrest students traveling on the road, and prevent movement between the two areas. Since January 1st, 33 Berzit University students have been arrested by Israeli military authorities. The majority of arrests have occurred at almost daily impromptu checkpoints placed on the road from nearby Ramallah to Berzit University. Since the division of the West Bank into three administrative areas pursuant to the Oslo Agreement, Palestinian residents have suffered from the inability to move freely from one area to another, A journey from Ramallah to Birzeit passes through Area A, Ramallah, which is designated Palestinian Authority rule, through Area B, which is under joint Palestinian and Israeli control with security responsibility under the Israeli Authority, and near the bypass road, which is designated Area C, and finally up to the university, which is in Area B. For many students, this journey often holds with it the fear of arrest while traveling. Today's demonstration moved peacefully to within 100 meters from the intersection where the bypass road and the main road crossed. Four Israeli military jeeps and soldiers monitored the demonstrators who sat down in the middle of the road and held a press conference explaining the current situation facing students at the university. Following the press conference, students and staff moved past the Israeli soldiers and linked hands, chanting slogans demanding freedom of education and movement. After the march past the intersection was beginning to disperse, Israeli troops began firing at the demonstration with rubber-coated steel bullets and tear gas as a small number of students began to throw stones at the military jeeps. There were no injuries. Frequently, arrests are a point of tension within the Birzeit community and regularly disrupt normal student life. Students are often targeted for arrest as a result of their activities on and off campus and their political affiliations. In many cases, students are unaware of the fact that they may be wanted by the military authorities until they are actually arrested, creating a climate of fear in the everyday life of students. Due to the arbitrary nature of arrests, most students at the university presume that they will be arrested and do not risk traveling while a checkpoint is in place. On many occasions, students can be found waiting in Ramallah in the morning, afraid to come up to the university because of these checkpoints, while lectures, exams, and academic activities are missed.
Washington State Governor Gary Locke has announced that he will not deliver a commencement address as previously planned at the Evergreen State College, located in Olympia, Washington, this June, after learning that students had voted to also present a taped address from imprisoned African-American journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. Bowing to pressure from state trooper and local law enforcement associations, Locke rescinded his acceptance of the invitation to speak so as not to share the stage with a controversial figure who has prepared a 13-minute pre-taped speech to be played at the event. Award-winning radio journalist and author Abu-Jamal has been on death row for 17 years after being convicted of the killing of a Philadelphia police officer in a trial process riddled with irregularities and corruption. Calling racism in the U.S. justice system blatant and shocking, Evergreen students cited Mumia's reflections on education and freedom as parallel to the philosophy of their institution in making the decision to feature him at their commencement ceremony.
A protest camp on La Framboise Island near Pierre, South Dakota, is bringing to life century-old treaty rights, Native activists said April 27th. Tom Cheyenne of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation told about 25 visitors to the island camp that he joined the protest to draw attention to an 1868 treaty that gave western South Dakota to his people. "We're still fighting for our land and our water," Cheyenne said. "It's an awakening for the people. It's time. There has to be action." Cheyenne and six other members of the Lakota Student Alliance established the camp March 22nd. La Framboise is an island in the Missouri River midway between Pierre and Fort Pierre. The protesters want Congress to reopen hearings on a law passed last fall that transfers much of the riverside land from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to the state and to two of the four Indian tribes whose reservations border the river. "I came here to stand up for our rights," said Dan Marival, another Pine Ridge camp leader. "I have three daughters. I'm here to make sure they get justice. Not only them, but all of our unborn children." The government took the land in question nearly four decades ago when it built the dams that flooded the river bottom. Later, however, it decided some of the taken land was surplus, not needed for operation of the dams. U.S. Senator Tom Daschle and Governor Bill Janklow spearheaded the transfer plan. Both officials have said efforts were made to include all interested people when the transfer plan was being prepared. The protesters argue that the treaty signed at Fort Laramie in 1868 promised all of South Dakota from the east bank of the river to the Sioux tribes. All the tribes that signed the treaty should have been consulted before the transfer, they say. Camp members explain their position to Pierre-era members of the Peace and Justice Center, a group that focuses attention on issues involving social justice. La Framboise is a nature area operated by the Corps of Engineers. Camping isn't allowed. The Corps issued temporary permits for the protesters who say the Treaty of 1868 is all the permission they need to occupy the land. "A spiritual, nonviolent civil disobedience is what we're calling it," one protester said. Jim Ankerman of Pierre organized the Peace and Justice visit. Before the meeting, he said he's aware that federal court decisions and past actions of Congress have diminished many treaty provisions. "But I can hope for action," he said. "It takes somebody to stand up and start it. These people need to be given the opportunity to explain the issue."
Students at Sussex University in the United Kingdom reported May 4th that they have been occupying their administrative building since April 28th to protest the expulsion of 89 students unable to pay stiff new tuition fees. 200 people were reportedly taking part in the actual occupation, with perhaps twice that number outside in support. The students have already peacefully thwarted two attempts to evict them, but expected more law enforcement action on the 5th. The protesters are demanding that no present or future student be expelled for non-payment of tuition fees, and that those involved in the occupation suffer no repercussions. They say they are going to stay in the administrative building, blocking the financial office until their demands are met. Similar actions have already taken place in other universities, Camberwell Art College, Guildhall, and Goldsmiths College, and the actions were successful, leading to a non-expulsion policy. The students reiterated their commitment to nonviolence and stated that they had no intention of damaging the building or other facilities.
The Biotic Baking Brigade Ecotopia Cell threw a pie in the face of Berkeley professor and animal researcher Russell D. Valois April 30th as he walked into his class. DeValois was greeted with two airborne pies of undisclosed flavors by BBB field agents Huckleberry and Tofu Cream. DeValois was notified about just why he received his just desserts by cries of "Stop torturing animals" and "End vivisection" by the Antarctistas. Using the secret pie mind tricks displayed by many BBB agents, they mysteriously disappeared without a trace, baffling onlookers and members of DeValois' class. Russell DeValois and the experiments he conducts on animals at UC Berkeley are just another example of this culture's belief that we are somehow above animals, said Agent Huckleberry. The BBB will not stand by and allow unaccountable mad scientists to torture innocent animals. DeValois engages in brain mapping experiments for colorblindness. He has been cited under the Animal Welfare Act for experimenting on sick and suffering animals, keeping animals in overcrowded facilities, neglecting sick and suffering animals, ignoring the recommendations of campus veterinarians, and illegally acquiring animals for experimentation. Despite this, DeValois continues to get funding from the National Institute of Mental Health. The Biotic Baking Brigade stands in solidarity with all caged animals, including animals raised for fur, meat, and in this case, those tortured in the name of science, said Special Agent Loganberry, relaying a message from the General Command of the BBB meeting an emergency session in Headwaters Forest. This most recent pie-in comes on the heels of World Week for Animals in Laboratories, which saw a UCSF animal lab get trashed by activists, as well as the liberation of 116 animals at a University of Minnesota lab by the Animal Liberation Front. This action is dedicated to all animals who are being tortured and killed in labs like Russell DeValois every day. Also to Rod Coronado, a true warrior who himself was in prison until just a few weeks ago and who has continuously fought for the earth and animals. And finally to Agent Apple, whose inspiration and presence is sorely missed, reads a communique from the Culinary Insurgent Group. Once again, the sentencing of the Cherry Pie 3 to 6 months in jail has not stopped our delicious mischief. The BBB has not been deterred by Judge Goldsmith's draconian sentence. We will continue to take pyrect action in the face of unaccountable corporate greed. The global pastry uprising continues, read the statement. Operation Pie Section concludes the 13th successful BBB mission, totaling 14 powerful and unaccountable public figures who have received the BBB's controversial, if humorous, treatment. Other recipients include Redwood Clearcut Kingpin Charles Hurwitz, neoliberal economist Milton Friedman, Monsanto CEO Robert Shapiro, World Trade Organization Director General Renato Ruggiero, Novartis CEO Douglas Watson, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, and Chevron CEO Kenneth Durr, among others.
We now bring you a collection of voices recorded at an April 23rd rally against the NATO war on Yugoslavia held in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for these actualities goes to Mike Fluganok at www.sinkers.org.
NRA, as I understand it, had the decent shame in the week of the massacre in Denver to cancel its meeting. NATO should have had that decent shame to shut up and prepare to disband this week.
We put forth a modest proposal. Convert the Pentagon into a center for nonviolent conflict resolution training, a hospital, a bakery, and a daycare center. What do you think?
At what point does the constant reiteration of failed and fatal policy become a war crime? And reckless incompetence become grotesque cruelty, and tactics of death become, to use a term used very casually these days, becomes genocide.
as usual, the media are getting it wrong. They're getting it wrong in all the military violence, and they get it wrong also about our students. Because the press in America keeps telling these, oh, this is Generation X. You are not Generation X. You're Generation Y. Because you keep asking, why is Bill Clinton lying to us? And you keep asking, why does Congress give the war machine $700 million a day? Why do we have no money for Head Start? And why no money for Job Corps? Little money for those programs. And why do we keep spending money to build weapons programs?
So in fact, is the U.S. so drunk with power that we can bomb countries, that we can drop bombs on cities like Belgrade with impunity, that we can create no-fly zones over sovereign countries with no one's permission and bomb those countries when they dare to resist us, that we can bomb pharmaceutical plants in poor countries like Sudan in contravention to every known concept of international law, and then have the gall to refuse to even let our alleged evidence be seen by the United Nations? Tell me, who is the rogue nation in the world today?
Voices recorded at an April 23rd rally in Washington, D.C.
This has been the Direct Action Radio News, recorded May 5th, 1999.
The Direct Action Radio News is a project of the Direct Action Media Network.
Found on the internet at http://dam.tao.ca/news/index.
And is produced at the studios of Radio Free Cascadia in Eugene, Oregon.
With special thanks to the A-Infos Radio Project. Until next week, this is Leaf.
And this is Thuja, reminding you that actions speak louder than words.
Come on, all you big strong men. Uncle Phil needs your help again. Starting another improvio in a little region called Kosovo. To sell your mutual fund and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? World War III up in the sky.